I like Lenny Kravitz, like that song a lot. How many of you know who Jeremiah was? And don't say bullfrog, okay? You young ones just turn to the older ones and ask them why that's funny. But Jeremiah was a prophet, and he's a prophet during extremely turbulent times. He's surrounded by a lot of angry birds, and ultimately he'll become angry. And we're going to find out that Jeremiah kind of hits the wall because of all these angry birds around him. And we're going to figure out that he got in a really difficult situation, and he was singing a very, very sad song. I want to get away. I want to fly away. Jeremiah was called by God at a very young age. He realized early in his life that he was created on purpose for a purpose. In fact, Scripture says it this way. It says, the word of the Lord came to me. Jeremiah's writing this. He says, before I was formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah says, oh, sovereign Lord. I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then you skip on down the chapter. God kind of gives him a pep talk because you get the sense he's a little hesitant and a little bit afraid. God says, get ready, Jeremiah. Go and tell them everything I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them now, or I'll make you even more afraid when you're with them. Listen, Jeremiah. Everybody in this land, the kings of Judah, the officials, the priests, and the people will be against you. But today, I am giving you the strength to resist them. You'll be like a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall. They will not defeat you, for I will be with you to protect you. Jeremiah has this conversation with God, and he immediately goes into action. This young man is jazzed. I mean, he's excited. He's flying high, and he embraces his mission. All of a sudden, he's got a purpose for his life. And I imagine Jeremiah as he's stepping up to the plate and going to start speaking to the nation of Judah, that he's going, you know what? God's going to give me words to say. He's going to tell me the people that I need to say them to. And no matter how hard this mission is, no matter what it costs me, no matter how scary and afraid I might be, I'm going to fulfill my calling. I believe that kind of mentality is something that every Christ follower can identify with. The fact is, all of us can probably track back to a time in our spiritual life when God got a hold of our heart, where we sensed God inviting us to be a part of his plan to reach a fallen world, that we felt called to a particular service or ministry. We just felt like that's where God wanted us. And what usually happens when our hearts are beating hard for God is we charge out with kind of an unbridled passion in our life because we want to be used by God. And in your heart, I believe that we fully plan at that moment to run hard and run fast. You know, we embrace that assignment or that ministry, and we intend to be faithful to the very end because it's all for God's glory. And so what happens is time passes. For some, it takes a few months. More likely, it takes several years. And what happens is that newness wears off. The stakes get high. The cost gets greater. And over time, passion diminishes. And we kind of downgrade the mission. You know, I want to fly away. I want to get away from this. I want to fly away. And that's exactly what happened to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is speaking for God. He's sharing the message, very faithful with it. And things don't go well. The message is not well received. He starts having second thoughts in that moment. You can almost sense it. I want to get away. I want to fly away. I don't want to do this. Jeremiah wants to dial it down at this point in his ministry because it just didn't go well. But God intends to heat it up. God asked Jeremiah to go buy a clay jar. God gives him this instruction, says, the Lord told me to break the jar in front of the people who had gone with me. That was the leaders and the priests. And to them that the Lord Almighty has said as he breaks this jar, says, I will break this people and this city, and it will be like a broken clay jar that cannot be put together again. Jeremiah buys the jar. He stands before the leaders. He's in the city of Jerusalem. The people of Judah are gathered around. He's got their attention. What's he going to do with the jar? He says, I'm telling you for the last time, you know, humble yourself before God. Turn from your evil ways. Stop worshiping idols. Reduce the self-centeredness in your life. Get a handle on pride. And he runs through this whole litany of things. And then he says, today you have a choice to make. You either become God-honoring people, or this is what's going to happen to you, Judah. And he takes the jar and throws it. I mean, it just busts into a million pieces. He thought his messages before were not received well. This one's really not received well. In fact, it puts the leaders on tilt. They are angry birds now. I mean, they're really upset. Feathers are going to fly. Someone's going to pay. Scripture says this. Says when the priest, Pashur, son of Immer, was with the chief officer of the temple, heard me proclaim these things, he had me beaten and placed in chains near the upper Benjamin gate in the temple. That's a bad day for Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what he had to say wasn't received well. And I was thinking about, you know, it's one thing if you're not received well in a message. It's one thing if you tend to be like treading water and you can't make a breakthrough. You know, it's one thing if you're praying, but you feel like your prayers aren't being answered. But friends, it's another thing when you're being faithful to God and you get thrown against the wall. You get knocked down. You get knocked out. Jeremiah, he physically gets beaten. Physically, he's hurting. They put him in chains. He's at the gate of the temple. It'd be kind of like being out in front of our church and being chained up. I mean, he's humiliated before the people. He is emotionally wounded. People are making fun of him, Scripture says. They're mocking him. I'm going to guess Jeremiah is a little bit disillusioned. He's been made a laughingstock of. It was something he never imagined. He didn't dream it would happen to him. And I believe in that moment, I think Jeremiah is thinking about when God first called him. In fact, I think he's thinking about the promise that God made to him. Remember, it said, I'll be with you, and I'll rescue you. Think about it. He's just got beaten. He's chained up. People are mocking him. I don't think he feels the presence of God in that moment. He is left there all night. Scripture says he's released the next day. Again, he's been beaten. He's been humiliated. What's he going to do? Well, Jeremiah keeps delivering the message. And the leaders get angrier. It says they were angry with Jeremiah. Had him beaten, this is the second time, and imprisoned in the house of Jonathan, the secretary, with which they had made into a prison. In other words, this is a makeshift prison. Jeremiah's beaten for the second time. He's thrown in this makeshift prison for a long time. Jeremiah is doing his ministry, a ministry that God called him to, and his life's getting hard, a lot harder. I imagine Jeremiah is trying to figure out, why is this happening? I mean, this isn't what I thought I was going to get involved in. This isn't what I signed up for. But he's bold. This guy, as soon as he's released from prison, he starts speaking again for God. He gets arrested again. He gets sentenced. Scripture says that when he was sentenced, so they took me and they led me down by ropes into Prince Malachi's well, which was in the palace courtyard. There was no water in the well, only mud, and I sank down in it. You can miss this real easy if you just casually read Scripture, but this is a death sentence he's been given. This was a death that a horrible criminal would go through. Because what they would do, an abandoned well in that day, it was a terrible place. It became a dumping grounds for sewage. So it was infested with insects and leeches and disease. And when it says mud, well, it's not mud at all. It's nasty. When they would throw someone in these abandoned wells, they would usually die a very slow and awful death. And they would either starve to death or suffocate to death. Jeremiah, he's tied up. He's lowered down into this muck. He's lowered down to die. And Scripture says that some of his friends went to the king and they negotiated with the king to release him. They go out, they lift him up out of the well, probably kept their distance from him, whew, cleaned him up. And you know what Jeremiah starts doing? He starts speaking again. He starts preaching. Again, Judah, the people are listening to him and they refuse to respond. At this point, Jeremiah has been preaching for 40 years. 40 years he's delivered God's message. 40 years he's been trying to keep and draw the people of God back to God so that ultimately they wouldn't be destroyed. Jeremiah's been faithful for 40 years. I think at that point he's kind of reflecting on everything. He hasn't even had one person respond as you read through Scripture. I imagine he's thinking, you know, this is a little bit pointless. 40 years I've been preaching. And he starts lamenting what's going on. In fact, Jeremiah would write what I believe is the saddest book in the Bible, Lamentations. it's kind of the pouring out of his heart. And from what I can tell, again, through Scripture and history, Jeremiah, he dies in obscurity. Many have called him the weeping prophet because he bemoaned all that he had to go through. I remember it was early in my ministry. I had a mentor, and I was in school at the time preparing for ministry, and he caught me one day. He goes, "Damon, I want you to read the book of Jeremiah." And he said, "And then we'll talk about it." And so I read the book, and next time I saw him, he goes, "Hey, what'd you think?" And I go, "It's kind of depressing." He goes, "Welcome to ministry." Hey, that's the abridged version, but that's basically what he told me. He said, "Welcome to ministry. There are going to be days like this." Since that day, I've kind of done the same thing. People that I mentor, I'll say, "Hey, give it a read, and then let's talk." And I always get the same response, very similar. People go, "Well, that's depressing. Why'd you have me read that?" But friends, it reminds us that ministry's hard. Serving God is hard. You know, but once you get an assignment from God, once you figure out what it is that God wants you to do, where God wants you to serve, where God wants you to invest your life, what happens so many times, we start out so good. We're fired up, you know, for whatever that calling is or whatever that thing is that we're doing for God. And so we're like Jeremiah, you know, full of enthusiasm and idealism. And we're flying high, and we strike out with this deep passion. We're ready for that adventure of a lifetime. But what usually happens early on, you get knocked around a little bit. You find out it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes the demands are great. Sometimes the challenges, well, they're complicated. Sometimes we work and we sacrifice and we don't get to see fruits. Sometimes you don't see any fruit. Sometimes living a God-honoring life, it's difficult. Sometimes the cost, it's higher than you ever anticipated. You know, I believe sometimes being a witness for Jesus Christ, it's just tough, especially in our very secular, sin-fallen society. You know, sometimes what God requires, steep. And sometimes what happens is not what you expected and not what you signed up for. And my guess is that sometimes, maybe more times than we want to admit, you begin to second guess, don't you? I mean, does what I do even make a difference? I felt called to this. I thought I would be faithful to this. I really was jazzed up about it initially. But now, not sure. In fact, most of the time, I just want to get away. I want to get away. I want to fly away. You ever felt like that? Some of you have been given a difficult assignment by God. Some of you, it will always be tough. Some of you, you may just be in a tough season in your life. But what do you do when ministry or serving God or whatever it is that God calls you to, what do you do when it gets tough? For me, When ministry gets tough, I have those seasons where I go, wow, this is tough. I always study the life and the ministry of Jeremiah. Part of it is I can look at it and go, it's not that bad. Don't get any ideas. Because when I look at Jeremiah and his ministry, if I look at it just as a glance, it appears that his entire ministry was a bust. 40 years, 4 decades, not anything recorded of someone responding to him. You know, this guy preached and he pleaded and he prayed for the people. He gave these great object lessons, smashing jars. He had their attention. And nothing. The only response, well, Jeremiah got jammed up. Jeremiah physically got beaten numerous times. He got put in chains. He got put in prison. He almost got killed. And then to top it off, get this, he's delivering these messages, calling Judah to a God-honoring living and life. And the whole time he's preaching, not only did Judah not respond, the nation actually got more and more ungodly over time. See, it didn't go the way that Jeremiah envisioned. He started out with so much zeal and so much optimism, and then we find him and he's frustrated and he's disillusioned and he's really angry. In fact, that anger is going to start tainting everything around him. You know, I'm sure there was a point where Jeremiah was really tempted to kind of stuff it down, put on a happy face, pretend it didn't bother him, pretend everything was okay. I am absolutely sure that there were times that Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to fly away. And friends, I'll be honest with you, that's what most people do. When things get tough, when God's call seems hard, just check out. Jeremiah, though, he does something that very, very few Christians are willing to do. And Jeremiah spills his guts to God. I think it's one of the messiest prayers that's in Scripture. I'd encourage you to read it this week. Jeremiah 20, the entire chapter. Just use it for devotions. It's a wonderful read. I want to hit kind of the high points today. In the next few minutes, just kind of touch on those. He starts out, he says, "You deceived me, Lord. I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed." You deceived me. The root of that in the Hebrew language is, you seduced me. You pulled a bait and switch on me. You indicated that ministry was going to be exciting. You said that you were going to protect me. You were going to rescue me. See, Jeremiah's not in a good place here. He's angry. He says, "I'm ridiculed all the day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out proclaiming violence and destruction." He's delivering God's message to the people of Judah. He says, "So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. I'm sick and tired," Jeremiah says. "I am tired of this, Lord. God, I'm speaking your words that you wanted me to share with the people, and these knuckleheads aren't getting it. They're not." He's an angry bird. He's angry at the people. He's angry at the nation of Judah. He's angry at the leaders. He's angry at the priests. He's angry at God. Can you sense some desperation here? It's interesting because all this anger ends up turning on him. In fact, at one point in his prayer, he curses the day he was born. And then he goes on kind of a tirade of anyone involved in his birth he's angry at. It's a very, very haunting prayer, and it's a messy prayer. But I would argue it's a courageous prayer. I would argue that it's a very honest, heartfelt prayer. Because Jeremiah's struggling. He's confused. He can't figure out why this is happening. He's being faithful, and it's just messing him up. I think Jeremiah had to get it out. And so he's praying, and he's venting, and he's full of this anger. And in the midst of all this venom that's coming out of him, he kind of dials down for a moment. I think he gets a little glimpse of reality here. He says, "But if I say I will not mention his words or speak anymore in his name, if I decide I'm going to quit, his word is in my heart like a fire. Fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Do you feel a struggle there? I want to get away. I want to fly away. I want to quit. But God, before I quit, I've got to come to terms with something. If I leave this assignment, God, this assignment that gives me purpose, you know, the only thing that has gotten me out of bed for all these years, God, I think about going back to a meaningless, self-absorbed, materialistic, pleasure-seeking life that I once had. It doesn't make any sense. God, I've tasted what it's like to be used by you. No, it's been bittersweet. And sure, God, I hate all the difficulties. It's hard sometimes. But I love being used. God, maybe, if I just hang in there, maybe I can fly high. Maybe something good will happen. If I bail, God, that's what I feel like doing. I mean, if I fly away, I think I'll regret it. Because God, you give me purpose. Can you feel the tension? I want to stop there for a second and just say, I have never known a Christ follower. Listen carefully. I've never known a Christ follower who's really trying to live for God, to live a God-honoring life. I've never known a person with that kind of heart who has bailed on their calling, then when you talk to them, they're glad they did it. Glad that they walked away. Now, I've known lots of people that have walked away from whatever it is God calls them to do or to serve or to minister or whatever. And I've known a lot of people quit it. But I've never known a Christian that's living right with God that was glad that they did. I've sat with many pastors through the years. I've sat with leaders. I've sat with volunteers who have bailed because it got hard, because they got discouraged, because the heat got too hot or the cost got too great. And it's interesting because usually when I'm having a conversation with them, I'll hear something like this. They'll say, "You know, I thought it was supposed to be fun. I thought I was supposed to have a good time. I thought this would be easier than it is. It's just hard. I'm just tired. I'm done. And I will usually, I'll let them talk for a while, and then I'll ask a couple questions. I'll say, you know, when you first decided to serve or to go into ministry or do whatever it is that God called you to do, did God call you to do it? Did God gift you in such a way that you could do it? Did God give you a passion for whatever it is that they're doing? And if they say yes, and that's what I hear most of the time, then I'll follow up and say, you got to be faithful. You got to be faithful. You will hate yourself if you bail. You will find that you will never have peace in your life. You will never be happy if you walk. In fact, the only way you find joy and peace is when you're completely obedient to God. And friends, I have never met an exception to that rule. And I know as I say that right now, for some of you, that is heartbreaking. Because you go, yeah, I did bail. I did walk away from it. And the fact is, right now, and maybe for a long time, you've known, big mistake. In fact, you know the unrest that I'm talking about. Because some of you have been living with it for years, maybe decades. And I just say to you, you know what, you just need to get together with God and just say, you know what, God, forgive me. You know, forgive me for deciding I no longer need to serve, or I no longer need to be obedient to you. Reclaim that call. Allow God to stir up that spiritual gift inside you, that talent that you once used. Start sharpening your leadership skills. You know, get back in the game. God will use you again. And some of you have never been in the game. You need to get in the game. God has a call for everyone. I guarantee you, the only way you find joy in this world and peace in this world is when you've got things right with God, being obedient to God, period. Jeremiah, he prays. It's a messy, messy, messy prayer. He says, I want to quit, but I don't want to live without you, Lord. I don't want to live without meaning. I guess I can't quit. I guess I got to be obedient. And back and forth he goes. Messy. One minute he wants to fly away. The next minute he's committed. And it's interesting because right in the middle of his prayer, he gives us this hint of hope. He says, sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. He wrote that. He's singing. He's praising God. I think he reflects on what he's just said, because he kind of indicates God hasn't rescued him and God isn't there. And he's thinking about it. He goes, well, come to think of it, I guess you have. You promised you'd be with me. You promised you'd rescue me. I didn't think you had, but I guess you have, because I'm still alive. They didn't kill me. I'm not down for the count. Friends, God calls Jeremiah again. Jeremiah is faithful again. He keeps speaking out and warning the people until Judah falls and is broken. In fact, we know from history the Babylonians, they would come in and destroy Jerusalem, they would destroy the temple, and they would destroy Judah. Down for the counting out. In fact, Jeremiah and all the people of Judah, they were drug away as prisoners. They were taken to a foreign land. They would live out their days in exile. Jeremiah, near the end of his life, he writes these wonderful, wonderful words. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. After all this life he's led, all the problems, ends up not even making a difference. Judah falls, the thing he was trying to avoid. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Jeremiah, prisoner in exile, wondering if it was all pointless, and yet his heart's still beating for God. All he can see is God's love and God's compassion and God's mercy. And it's very, very personal at the end when he says, great is your faithfulness. It's great is your faithfulness to me, God. Jeremiah's ministry, from a world's perspective, looked like a bust. But not from God's perspective. And not from ours. I mean, he left us a wealth of scripture and encouragement and understanding of how God works. You know, Jeremiah is successful. He just didn't get to see it necessarily in his life. Jeremiah's faithful. You know, he's listed in the Hebrew Hall of Fame in the New Testament. You know why he's there? Because he didn't quit. Because he didn't fly away. Because he didn't hang it up. Oh, he kicked and he fussed and he vented and he prayed some very, very messy prayers. But you know what set him apart? He worked through the disappointments. He worked through the discouragement. He worked through the disillusionment. And he headed right back into battle every time, knowing that he probably, I mean, I got to think after the second or third beating, he goes, you know what? I'm probably going to get my clock cleaned when I show up. I may get knocked out again. But it's interesting. He keeps repeating the same cycle. He just gets back up and he does what God called him to do. And he gets back up and he does what God called him to do all the way to the very end. He was faithful. Now, I'm going to level with you. There are some things I don't understand. You know, I don't understand why some people get really, really tough assignments. You know, that ministry is really, really hard. And other people, they get to see lots of fruit and ministry's easier. I don't get that. I don't know why it's that way. I haven't figured it out. Probably never will. You know why? Because I'm not God. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways. Period. I guess that's why Jesus said this in Matthew 13. He says, but the seed falls on good soil, refers to people who hear the word and understand it. They produce a crop, yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what is sown. You know, in other words, Jesus says, just look at people that are serving, people that are humble, people that are passionate, people that give everything they've got. When I look around at the world, I see people like that all the time. And sometimes God blesses 100-fold. And sometimes it's 60, and sometimes it's 30. And once in a while, even, there doesn't appear to be any fruit. I don't understand that. But here's what I do understand. I understand that ministry and serving and being obedient to God is hard sometimes. It doesn't matter where you serve, what you do, what it is that God has pressed on you to be about. There are times it's hard. And when it gets tough, when you want to fly away, I want to challenge you to take your struggle to God. Take your struggle to God. Say whatever you need to say. Pour it out. Vent it. Let it go. But remain obedient to God. God gave Jeremiah two promises. I'll be with you, and I will rescue you along the way. In other words, I'll get you out of jams when you get in them. But that's about it. In fact, it's almost as if God said, you know what? I'm not promising you that it's going to be easy. It may be hard. And some of you need to hear that today. To know up front, sometimes ministry and serving people, it's hard. And it's okay to be in that spot where you go, you know what, this is hard right now. It's hard to love. It's hard to serve. It's hard, but you just got to be faithful. You know, when you want to fly away, don't do it. Don't quit. Hang in there. Because here's what I know is going to happen someday. When we die, we get to heaven, and we're standing before Jesus for the first time, no matter how tough your assignment, no matter what it costs you to serve or what it is that God wants you to do, you will realize in that moment, you're going to realize that there was someone that had a lot tougher assignment than you. You're going to realize that there was someone that was humiliated and demoted and ridiculed and mocked more than you. Someone that made more sacrifices than you. In fact, someone that shed a lot more blood than you. And I'll be honest, I guess that's why it grinds me sometimes when Christ followers that say, you know what, God, I love you. You're the most important thing to me. And then we face a situation where it's going to cost us something. Maybe cost us a lot. But many times, not so much. And people go, oh, wait a minute. Wow, this isn't very convenient. I don't think I can do that. It's inconvenient for me. Oh, is that what you want, God? I know that's what your word says. I know what's right here, but it's really hard. I don't think so this time. Maybe next time, God. Christ followers, you are called by name. Show some guts. Show courage. Pray a messy prayer if you need to. Get angry, vent, say what you need to say, but don't fly away. Don't bail. Remain faithful through and through. Get in the game and stay in the game. And friends, it's important because we live in a culture, and I don't know if you've realized it, it is a secular culture. A culture that prefers to do life without God. And dedicated people that live God-honoring lives are a rarity. And it makes ministry harder and much more complicated and very, very messy. But don't forget, eternity's in the balance. We need to finish the course. We need to be about whatever it is God's called us to be about. And we need to be obedient and hang in there just like Jeremiah did. Period. Well, let's bow in a word of prayer together. Our holy God, God, we lift hearts to you. And God, I am so thankful for all those that serve and serve faithfully and with great hearts. And God, I pray that we would, when ministry gets messy, when things get complicated, when well, it gets hard sometimes, that we just hold that much tighter to you, that we'd be people that would encourage one another, build up one another. And God, even when we don't see fruits, you promise that those labors are not in vain. And maybe it's not this life that we get to see the fruits. And maybe it's not this generation. Maybe it's something we do now that'll make a difference three generations from now. God, I pray that we would be people that would be honoring with all that we say and do. God, I thank you for Jeremiah. I thank you for his witness. I thank you for his faithfulness. God, just speak to our hearts right now. May we honor you with all we say and do. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Just remain seated, and I want you to be reminded that God, always, you can count on his love through whatever it is you're going through.